Listen, everyone in the studio, be quiet. Keon, be quiet. Brandon, be quiet. You know why? Because it's hump day!
Mike. Woo, what day is it, Mike?
Look at my camel.
Guess what today is?
Look at Humpty.
What is Humpty?
You don't remember what you named your Humpty.
I named him Humpty.
Oh, was it Humpty? Oh, my bad.
I just literally said, have some respect for Humpty. I just said his name. Good morning, everybody. Happy hump day. You know, it's not my favorite day of the week, but it's my favorite day of the week on this show because I get to introduce Humpty. And look, everyone in the chat is, what day is it? It's hump day! Goodness. Yes. And I'm also extra excited for this Wednesday because I get to break up the mundaneness of having to sit next to Brandon Marshall 4 days a week. Because one of my best friends in the entire world is on the show today. We have Liv Moods joining us. I'm very excited to have her grace us with her presence. There we go. Out of Colorado, which is getting a lot of buzz for a multitude of reasons. They won an NBA championship. Boulder has more black people in it than we have ever seen before. And of course, Liv is there. How are you, Liv?
I'm good. I'm so good. Yeah, there's a lot of Colorado talk, but not about my Broncos, that's for sure.
Yeah, so. Definitely not about the Broncos. Yeah, but listen, we can't win everything, Liv. We do have the Denver Nuggets. I see that you are constantly proudly displaying our now NBA champions.
She needs to switch it up.
Why are we reaching to our bag of stuff here, Brandon?
Well, no, because I don't like this color. I'm gonna put on black. I don't like that cover. So I'm gonna switch up my hat, Liv, and you need to switch up your background. Can we get a single shot of Liv really quickly, please? These TCU boots gotta go.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Oh God. What's your record right now? That's first. And then the Denver Nuggets. Colorado, the Buffs,
Brandon,
are getting more action
first
than the Denver
foremost,
Nuggets.
Brandon.
And they haven't won a championship in forever. What?
Brandon, say it with me. Colorado.
No, you can't. Why you do Colorado?
Colorado.
Colorado. Colorado.
My God. Every single time you say Colorado, it's Colorado. Colorado. It's Colorado.
Liv, when we going snowboarding, Liv, when I come out there, I'm coming to your basement and I'm clearing out that damn whatever your woman cave is.
Whoa.
You know what? I've actually never been snowboarding or skiing in my life, and I've lived in Colorado my whole life.
That is wild.
That's insane.
I know.
You're going this year. Ashley's going to boxing events, and you're going snowboarding
with
me.
That's crazy.
Okay, I'll do it.
All right.
Well, let's get things started on the topic of Colorado.
You like this color better on me?
Are you going to let me kick the show off?
Go.
Or are you,
go.
Okay, you look go. Fine. All black, everything. You can't go wrong with that. Are we good?
Guns are out.
Brandon, have your moment. Let's give you 60 seconds to have your moment. Okay. Go ahead.
So, you like the color?
Great. Black. All right, can't go wrong with it.
The guns are out. Can I get a compliment?
On what?
My guns are out.
Looking,
you know I've been eating better.
Lean.
I've been doing yoga.
You look
yes,
lean,
go.
Give trim. It to me. You look like a lean, green fighting machine.
Yes.
You feel good?
I'm
feel
good. I'm ready.
Can we get started?
I'm ready.
All right. Awesome. Awesome.
Dear God.
All right. Listen. Let's reset. All right, we're going to reset here. All right, here we go. All eyes on Boulder, Colorado. Listen, Saturday's Rocky Mountain Showdown was ESPN's fifth most watched college football game ever. Yes, you heard that right, ever. The Buffs' comeback win drew in 9.3 million viewers, shattering records for ESPN late night prime window viewership and the most streamed regular season game ever. Now, this is very impressive. Seeing if you were watching it on the East Coast, like I was, the game started at 10 p.m. and did not end until 2:30 in the morning. But like I said, Deion Sanders, Shador Sanders, Shiloh Sanders, the entire Colorado Buffaloes program is must-see TV. I mean, this is incredible. 9.3 million viewers, breaking records. They just keep climbing higher and higher. This is amazing.
Yeah, well, what I would say to this is, Deion Sanders, unbelievable. We'll never see another Deion Sanders. Everything that he does, the way he recruits, you know, bringing out Lil Wayne the first time a football team has been walked out by an artist performing, you know, and now, I mean, the glasses, I think now it's up to $4 million or something crazy to update on his sunglasses. Mm-hmm. I think Saturday in that one day, 24 hours is 1 point.
To open my kombucha, as you talk about this.
$1.2 million in sales, and now it's at like four. So Deion Sanders Live, to me, is going to go down as the greatest college football coach ever.
Whoa.
If he stays. Because Deion Sanders has the ability to recruit better than anyone else. And that's the name of the game at the college level. It's not really about the X's and O's. If you have the X's and O's, then you'll create a dynasty like they did in Alabama. Right? Deion Sanders has the ability to put together a staff, keep a staff, pay the staff well to keep them, right? So they can have great football. That's what they're in the position to do. But Deion Sanders, he's in a league of his own, Liv, when it comes to, you know, recruiting and being able to create an environment that young athletes want to go to. So, you know, shout out to Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffs. Did I say that right?
You did not.
You know,
Colorado.
They're doing some legendary things. But Liv, I gotta say this, They're playing against what?
Oregon.
They're playing against
USC.
No, Oregon this week.
And then USC.
So everyone, this is going to be a tough two games, and I don't expect them to, you know, be on the other side undefeated. But doesn't mean that they're not going to have finish, you know, with a legendary year and still have amazing attention, engagement around the program. So I just want everybody just pump the brakes.
Liv,
don't go too fast.
You obviously live in Colorado, the Denver area. Yes. You know, I want to ask you, I mean, you tweeted about this. You said you have never, there's never been this many black people in Boulder, Colorado. We've made that joke a few times. But, I mean, how true is that? Boulder, Colorado, the demographic's like 95% white. So this is a big deal.
No, it totally is a big deal. I mean, this is not just a new and improved football program, but it's a whole culture that is really, really cool to see in Boulder. I mean, Boulder is the type of city you drive to and there's tie-dye shirts and everyone's got their dogs out and they're barking and they're wearing sandals. And right. Like, it's just not, it is not Deion Sanders at all. So the coach prime effect in full force in Boulder is a really, really cool thing to see because again, it's diversity. Now, will those people always be there or will they trickle in for the football season only? You know, we'll see. But I think what we're seeing with Deion is not just an improved football program, but just a culture shift, which I think Boulder has needed for a very long time.
Yeah, I mean, this is definitely amazing to see. Deion is prime TV and so is his team. But speaking of his team, Travis Hunter has broken his silence on the infamous hit. Travis Hunter, as you guys know or may not know, is out 3 to 4 weeks with a lacerated liver after a hit by safety Henry Blackburn that a lot of people have been debating on whether or not it was a dirty or clean football play. But Travis Hunter defended Henry Blackburn's hit on him in the Colorado versus Colorado State game, saying that's what happens when you play football. He said, quote, "It's football at the end of the day. Stuff like that is going to happen. He did what he was supposed to do. It's football." He went a little bit more into depth in a absolutely fabulous giraffe onesie. So we have the video. Go ahead and play this.
It's football though, at the end of the day. Stuff like that's gonna happen. So I just stay humble. I mean, hey, he did what he was supposed to do. It's football. Something bad's gonna happen on the field sooner or later. We just gotta get up and fight again. That's what I try to do. Get up and fight. Good thing the doctors stopped because if there was no doctors there, I would have still been out there playing. But I'm thankful for everybody that helped me that day. And yeah, boy, it's gonna be a speedy recovery.
First and foremost, I'm adding that giraffe onesie to my Christmas giveaway that I'm, you know, my Christmas list gift, whatever list, gift list, whatever. That's fabulous. That looks so cozy. You like that, Keon? The giraffe onesie? I would pull up to the show in it. I'll be the giraffe. What do you want? An elephant or something?
The giraffe. Give me a lion.
Of course, you would want a lion, Jesus. Lion. Anyway, lion. Well, listen, Brent, are you on drugs?
Go.
What is up with you? listen, well, Travis Hunter wasn't the only one who spoke out on his hit. Deion Sanders actually spoke out as well, and his response is going viral for once again just showing the utmost amount of grace to his opponents. Go ahead and check this out.
Henry Blackburn is a good player who played a phenomenal game. He made a tremendous hit on Travis on the sideline. You could call it dirty. You could call it he was just playing the game of football. But whatever it was, it does not constitute that he should be receiving death threats. This is still a young man trying to make it in life, a guy that's trying to live his dream and hopefully graduate with honors or degree, committed to excellence and go to the NFL. He does not deserve a death threat over a game. At the end of the day, this is a game. Someone must win, someone must lose. Everybody continues their life the next day. Very unfortunate. I'm saddened if there's any of our fans that's on the other side of those threats. I would hope and pray not, but that kid was just playing the best of his ability and he made a mistake. So I forgive him. See you. Our team forgive him. Travis is, he's forgiven him. Let's move on. But that kid does not deserve that.
Yeah, I mean, listen, both incredible remarks from both Travis Hunter and Deion Sanders. Liv, I'll start with you and then we'll end it with Brandon. I mean, it's been talked about a lot on NFL Twitter. This has been dissected, overanalyzed, flipped upside down. I mean, everyone has an opinion about it. Was it clean? Was it dirty? You know, obviously the result of this is Travis Hunter, a major part of that Colorado team, is going to be out 3 to 4 weeks with a major injury. I mean, a lacerated liver is nothing to play with. But again, it just shows to, I guess, the character of this football team and what Deion Sanders just is constantly instilling in them that this is what, you know, they say when it's all said and done. I mean, what did you make of both of these remarks?
I mean, I think it's exceptional. I think and I will fully take responsibility for this. I think that it's funny because every time I try to talk about CU, if I'm not like praising them, then I'm just a salty loser from week one of college football, which Brandon loves to remind me about every chance he gets. But nonetheless, I digress. I think that it's really cool to see those moments because I think what all this media attention brought on by Deion just because of who he is, it's so easy to catch the flashy moments, the Rolex and the camera, the things that could be perceived as very obnoxious, which I will be honest, I have found obnoxious at times. So to see them on a human level, to see the type of leader that they have in Deion speaking so, you know, just wonderfully. He's a great, if you take away all the media, all the hype, all the hoopla, which is really what we've seen from this CU team so far in terms of, I mean, Lil Wayne, who has ever had Lil Wayne on the field as an intro to welcome the team? But I think when you remove the hoopla, you can see how cool these people are. I think right now Travis Hunter is the most likable athlete in college football.
Right.
It's really interesting, really, you know, that Liv brings that up because she is someone I think we've all, I think for the most part, the majority of people have kind of celebrated the flashiness and the swagger of the Colorado Buffs. Liv actually absolutely hates it.
Yeah, it's a
she was not a fan of, you know, the pregame, you know, little tussle, little trash talk between the two. You know me. I'm a fan. I like the, you know, I'm a fan. This is where we differ because I enjoy it. Like, I'm a trash talker.
Go ahead,
so I like it.
Go ahead,
Liv. And I do like some good trash talk. Here's the only thing that I express concern about. And I actually talked with a CU Buffs alumni about this. And we had a really great conversation. And I just said, listen, the more you run your mouth, whatever, 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 the target on your back gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And I will never take away a 3-0 start from this Buffs team. However, their talent down the road gets harder and harder and harder. So while a cool Rolex flash to the camera is cool now, it could become a laughable meme down the road. And I think, I mean, I felt the same way about Caleb Williams last year. Like, when you're an exceptional talent, there is a layer of, I don't want a guy like Shedeur Sanders to get lost in the noise because he is so exceptionally talented. And a lot of times, and I'm not saying this is what I predict for him, but a lot of times we see these athletes get so wrapped up in the extra stuff that follows the the world of football that they end up, you know, going to the professional league and don't have a super successful run there. So I just don't want him to get lost in the noise, because at the end of the day, the noise that has been created around CU is because of Deion. And Deion has the resume and has the accolades to where anything he says, any trash talk he has, any comment he makes, he's already backed it up. So there's no, you know, Deion has earned the right. I'm not saying Shador or Travis Hunter or any of these guys haven't. I just don't want them to get so lost in the media, the noise, the hype, that they lose sight of the talent that they have, because they're exceptional.
Well, Liv, think about this. You know, the things that made Deion successful in, you know, football, in television, he's now taking to coaching, and he's been doing this. This is nothing new for Deion Sanders. He's been coaching Little League football for 20-something years, high school football. He's been coaching his son for a very long time. So he's not going to change now, right? Deion has always been counterculture to the NFL or to sports. He's always been counterculture to just ball, period. That's what makes him Deion Sanders. That's what makes him primetime, right? So I don't think that there's nothing wrong with this. Deion Sanders understands what comes with this. The fights on the field that he had, those legendary fights against Rising, Atlanta versus, you know, I think he's with the Cowboys maybe at the time, or maybe the San Francisco 49ers battling one of his best friends and, you know, old teammates. You know, all the pushback he got back then. So he's used to this. I do agree with you. I do agree with you, though, that there may be some on that team, in that locker room, that may not be ready yet. But Deion is prepping them every single day for the spotlight. And I think he's doing a tremendous job, not only, you know, creating the engagement and creating the noise, but he's doing a great job of staying the leader that he's always been. The community has always looked up to Deion. So in this situation with Travis Hunter breaking his silence on the head, and you talk about the kid, Deion Sanders handled it perfectly, because not only are you leading these guys in your locker room, but you're also leading all these other young men that's been looking up to you and been a super fan for a very long time.
Of course.
You know, I love how
The Deion factor of it is not, like, remove that from it. There is no pushback on anything Deion is doing, because how can you? He's
right.
One of the greatest. What you said, I just don't want, not every athlete can handle the balance of the skill, the talent, the game, and the hype, the hoopla, the noise.
They have so to, though. They have to.
Yeah,
they do, but that doesn't mean that they can.
It's not. No, you have to, because if Deion Sanders didn't do all of this, if he didn't act this way, Deion Sanders would have never gotten this gig. If Deion Sanders didn't act this way, if this wasn't who he was, they wouldn't be this successful. They wouldn't have been able to turn around this roster, turn around this team in a matter of 3 to 4 months. 80 new guys? Are you kidding me? Last year they won one ball game? So this is exactly what he needs to do if he wants to be successful. So I hear you there, but so far, you know, it seems like the guys are responding well to it.
And also, I'll say this. I mean, I feel like, you know, does it put a larger target on their back? Maybe, but the target's already there. I mean, the target was there the minute Deion took the game.
It's getting bigger, though,
and
Ash.
It gets bigger every time they win.
Every week it gets bigger.
But every time they win, it gets bigger. Every time there's a scandal about, you know, a coach saying, take your glasses off, or Shador has an incredible game, and they beat somebody they're not supposed to beat, and they do it with a little bit more sweat. I mean, there's a target on their back every single possible direction. So does, you know, the glitz, the glam, the flash, does that add an additional target? Maybe. But you can't. All you can do is add to what already existed. And their swag is not the reason they have a target. It's everything that comes with the fact that, when was the last time you saw Lil Wayne walk out of college team? That's a target.
The thing that makes me nervous.
So play into it.
This is the last thing I'll say here. The thing that makes me nervous, Ashley and Liv, is not all the other stuff, right? Because that comes with haters, and we all have haters, all right? But when you go out there before the game, and you get into tussles, you throw up your watch, right? You get in that type of banter. What happens is those guys like Hunter, whatever the
Travis
kid's
Hunter?
Name is. No. What's the safety to hit him?
Henry Blackburn.
Henry Blackburn. That wouldn't have happened if they didn't have all of that commotion leading up to the game.
I don't think that's true.
I'm telling you. Listen to me.
I do think it's true. Ashley, I'm telling you.
That's why I never talk trash, because I like, for me, I'm thinking about longevity. I was thinking about, I can't take those extra hits. Whenever I got into it, whether it was Vontaze Burfict, whether I got into it with Tlaib, even Darrell Revis, it wasn't just this them, but it was the entire defense. When you fall as a receiver, they're coming and you remember I said this, top off. Yeah, y'all laughed at me. They come top off. You might be down and they come put their helmet right in your back or in your ribs. In plays like this, he wanted him to feel this pain. So when you do that, this is what comes with it. So that's the only thing that they have to be concerned about, not the other stuff. But when you start bantering and people got to separate you, that spills onto the field.
Yes, of course, but let's not forget the trash talking that happened prior to the game was between Shador and another player. So if that's the ideology behind this, why did Travis Hunter take a hit from Henry Blackburn? They weren't talking trash to each other.
Travis Hunter, there's video of Travis Hunter talking trash, but it doesn't matter though.
I hear what you're saying. You get into a pregame scuffle with Josh Norman before the game. Now he's coming for you extra hard. I get that part. But what you're saying is Travis Hunter talking trash to you. Now all of a sudden your teammate's going to top off. For what reason?
That's football. But that's also, that's the best way I can say it, Ashley, is that when you hold on 1 second. You asked me a question, let me answer.
I didn't finish though. My finishing point was this though. It was also a rivalry game. It was going to happen regardless. There was tension in that game before it even started.
I strapped up a long time.
Was the coach not going at Deion Sanders before the game even started?
Yes, but what I'm saying, when you have that right there is okay, right? And that's just going to be a really intense game. But when you players, our psyche totally changed. We're trying to eliminate distractions. We're trying to figure out our playbook. When we go out there and we got to be separated, that's a different type of energy.
Of course.
That's anger. That's rage. Think about it. We got to go out there. We got to turn on the switch. We got to turn into gladiators. You got to turn into a different type of person when you do that. So now it goes from just being professional, just doing my job, to now you click into a different type of level. Like, excuse my language, but it's almost like I'm fucking about to take your head off. So,
and I'm going
to
tell you, for those that have watched Boulder before Deion, as a Colorado resident, the Rocky Mountain Showdown happens every single year. It has never, ever felt this personal. This has always been just two average teams coming together. Now, to your point, Ash, when you added Deion Sanders, that's an automatic target.
Right.
But this, I mean, there were people that, and I said this to my brother even, we were sitting on the couch and he hits, when Travis Hunter takes that hit, my brother was like, well, that looked personal. It's like, we could tell even sitting from the couch that there was something behind that was bigger than I'm just going to knock this guy over. It looked very personal. And I think that, again, when I say target, there is obviously a natural target on their backs, just the situation that they're in. But I know for a fact, the more that there's like, the trash talk, the whatever happening week after week, and they get more confident with each win, which they should, but there's defenses sitting there rubbing their hands together going, ooh.
Yeah, I
can't wait. No,
I'm not arguing with either one of you. What I'm saying is did the trash talk prior to the game add to it? Sure. But was it going to be that level of intensity regardless? I believe so. You have Deion Sanders. The Colorado Buffaloes are the hottest team in Colorado. Colorado State probably like, what have they done to go ahead and have all this attention, all this notoriety, except have Deion Sanders and his two sons on the team?
Right.
You have Kawhi Leonard, Lil Wayne on the sidelines. Everybody's talking about the Buffaloes. It's Buffalo this, Buffalo that. You had Coach Norvo go at Deion Sanders. Deion Sanders then mocked him in the meeting, giving out sunglasses. All I'm simply saying is, had that trash talk not happened pregame, this game was going to have already an insane level of intensity amongst players. I'm not saying it helped the situation, but I don't think that was the catalyst for why the game was intense. There was already a list of factors that was going to make an intense game regardless.
No, you're right. It was going to be intense. I mean, the environment was going to be like that. But when Liv, you use the right word, when it turns personal on the field, when you have to be separated, when you're out there and you're throwing a watch in somebody's face,
right?
And then whatever you said, even when, like, you know, you I think Aaron Rodgers said this in preseason to the guy.
Well, the watch didn't
happen for that game. Well, he did it.
No, I think the watch was for
it. He did it in that game and the game before. Yeah, he did
it. The original was the game prior.
Yeah, well, yeah. And then you have Aaron Rodgers who says something like, "Who are you? I don't know who you are." When you start talking trash,
right?
And I've experienced this. The intensity go to a whole nother level. I played in the Chicago Bears versus the Packers, right? I've been in some dope rivalries where it's intense. You know, there's a lot of trash talking leading up to it. But when me, personally, when I've been in a situation where, you know, me and Richard Sherman has to be separated by Pete Carroll before the game and Tlaib in the game, and you got Derek Brooks like, "Yo, youngins, y'all need to stop cursing. People are listening." What happens is, I abandoned all responsibility. There's been times where Vontaze Burfict talked about my wife. There's been times where other dudes talked about, you know, mental health, certain things. And I look at my coach, Jay Cut, "I don't give a damn what play you calling right now. Don't even look at me. I'm going over there. If you want me to run a go route, I don't give a damn. Play off. I'm going to take this dude's head off."
Oh, for
and
sure.
It's, and it's vice versa, right? Yeah. Like, these dudes is coming, and I use the word all the time, top off. So you can feel it in those games. And that's totally why, for me, Liv and Ash, like, I always stayed away from them. I'm like, you know what? Longevity. I don't have time to right. do that. I'm trying to get the win. I'm trying to get my 100 yards. That's what I'm trying to do. And then afterwards, then that's when I talk my trash. Going in the media, I had a legendary one. We can move on after this. Liv, I had a legendary one. Me and Joey Porter got into it. And he is talking trash. And after the game, we did our thing. We won. I went in there. I was like, "Yeah, popcorn muscle. You the dude in the middle of the club with your shirt off, dancing, da-da-da-da-da." And it went viral. So I waited, and I got on him. So, you know, that's my little 2 cents right there.
Well, listen, at the end of the day, the intensity turned personal, and that's never okay. At least that's how it came across. Obviously, Colorado State head coach Norville said that it was just a football play that ended up in a devastating injury for Colorado and Travis Hunter. We can go ahead and debate this until the cows come home. Everyone's going to have their opinion, whether it was dirty, whether it was clean, whether it was a football hit, whether it was personal. But at the end of the day, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter have both offered grace, and we're going to go ahead and move on. But listen, from one altercation to another, new footage has emerged following the conclusion.
More beef?
Yes, more beef. New footage has emerged following the conclusion of the Saints-Carolina game on Monday night. The Saints-Panthers game, rather, I should say, on Monday night. The video shows Panthers DL Derrick Brown charging at Saints wide receiver Michael Thomas. It looks like they got into some sort of verbal altercation that turned semi-physical. We have the video. Take a look.
Wow, I ain't see this.
Obviously, it was a little spicy. The Saints did end up winning that game. They are 2-0 for the first time since 2013.
Football's back, baby! Football's back! I'm obnoxious. I'm sorry.
Can I sleep trying to get through the damn headline? Brandon keeps like, my God. Like a kid.
The Saints are 2-0 for the first time since 2013. Brandon, what did you make of that?
I mean, it kind of piggybacks off of our last conversation.
Derrick Brown's a big boy.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought about.
Like,
Ash,
I'm not scary. Like, if you want to Ash, smoke, yeah. listen. But Derrick Brown's a big guy. I would have been like, "Hey, bro, like, I don't want no problem."
It reminds me of, like, getting into it with, like, Richard Seymour and Warren Sapp, those type of dudes. Like, I'm talking when they crossed the Warren Sapp crossed the line, right? He said some stuff, some personal stuff, right? He crossed the line. But I'm going at it with him. But I'm protected on the field, right? And I'm like that. I'm the type of dude that'll be in the tunnel doing that. but not against a big boy like that.
Yeah, he's a big right? guy.
So that it reminded me of that. It's like, damn, like, you know, I'm trash talking one of these big dudes. They cross the line and, you know, you lose your mind. It's almost like Plant. Remember we had Plant on? He's like,
yeah, Caleb.
Something, Caleb Plant, something clicks in your head and he's like, my manhood, I'm getting challenged. I got to, my respect.
Right.
Right? So you try to handle your business, but that's scary, man, because, like, you know, you're in a tunnel against somebody like that, and it's one-on-one. There was only one coach, little coach in there.
Liv, you saw the video. We can replay it as we dissect this a little bit more, but it kind of looked like Michael Thomas was, you know, barking that bark when he had some distance.
Look at
him
backing up. Look.
But as Derrick Brown got a little bit closer, he was like, you know, I'm Nah. I want no smoke, bro.
Ooh. He had his hand. Liv, I played with Mike T.
Security.
I played with Mike T, and I would say he has a switch. So.
Oh, for sure.
He probably was in the same situation that I probably would have been in, or, you know, he's probably thinking the same way, like, damn, I'm a back it up, my trash talk, whatever, on the field. But then when it spills over in the tunnel, right. He was like, damn, security. All right, this is real.
Security. Yeah.
Once he got close and he realized just how big he was like, nah, fam. I'm
yeah. Right. I'm good. Where is the security? Damn it. He's on the wrong side of the locker room. Get me out of here.
I don't think the security wanted the smoke either. He probably took off just like Mike did.
It's like one of those, you know, like the movies where like they do like record scratch and it's freeze. And like right before you get hit, the guy goes, you're probably wondering how name? I ended up here. Like right. Mike was trying not to have that situation.
What's this guy's name?
Derrick Brown.
Let's see how big Derrick Brown is. Pause.
Oof.
Derrick, go ahead. You keep going. Derrick Brown.
Why did you pause that?
How big he is? That's not a pause.
I mean, we're
Liv. I'm just learning how to this whole pause thing. I didn't grow up doing the pause thing.
Did you see the Iowa quarterback? He had two pause moments.
Yeah. Liv.
He did.
Liv, I played.
Really good pause moments.
Liv, I played the video yesterday. I wish we had the footage of Ashley's response when I played it. She just stared at me, looked at me, made me look like I was dumb. Can we play the video that Liv just talked about from yesterday to pause? Can we pull that video?
I have a very young sense of humor, so that kind of stuff totally makes me laugh.
I grew up in New York. I've been hearing pause my entire life.
So while we're pulling up the video that Liv is referring to, and we played it yesterday, and Ashley looked at me like I was crazy. Derrick Brown is 6'5", 270 pounds. Jeez. And Mike T is probably 6'3", 212 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's like
that's
very like
specific number.
Yeah, that's like Anthony Joshua or what's the other guy's name? Anthony Joshua going against Gervonta Tank Davis. Like, you have no chance. You got to hit and run. Do we have that video? They're pulling up. Okay, we'll bring it back up.
Do we have to watch this again? It wasn't funny the first time.
Yes, because it's funny.
They got it. Let's roll it.
Oh, my God.
I love it.
You guys are children.
Do we have it?
You know, really everyone just being on the same page because we know these guys are going to come a lot. I mean, there's – But I mean, we have to be on key with our hots. We got to be on key with our protection. So, I was not expecting that, but yeah. We'll
all right.
Oh my God.
Ashley.
It just made him really lovable. Like, it, the way he giggled about it, it was a cute moment.
He's adorable. Like, the right. way, but like, what he said, like, what he said, they're going to come a lot, I would have even, like, flinched at that.
I know, but it's, he made it funny. Like, Keon said, he made it funny. Liv, I wish you were here yesterday. Ashley looked at me like I was so dumb. I'm like, damn, I woke up this morning. You know, she put together this amazing rundown. Just shout out to Ashley. Want to give her some love publicly. She should win a sports Emmy in front of the camera and behind because she's also she moonlights. Is it moonlight as a producer? So
not to my liking.
so hold on. So she puts together this amazing rundown, Liv. And sometimes I come in, I'll just mess some stuff up. Like, I added some stuff today to be messy here in a second. But I put this in there. And so I put it in there. I'm expecting that she's going to, you know, have fun and, you know, get a good laugh because me and the boys did behind the scenes. And she looked at me like I was crazy, made me feel very small. Ashley, you made me feel very small.
Is that a pause moment?
Is that why you?
Ashley, give me some. Twin.
That was good, Ashley. That was real good.
That was good.
Okay.
That was good. That was good.
All right, listen, we have major merger moves in the mix because it is being reported that the XFL and USFL are in advanced talks to merge.
Like it.
An announcement could come as soon as this week. Now, in 2023, both leagues competed with a few weeks of overlap. The XFL started 1 week after the Super Bowl, and the USFL started in April. The XFL, the 2023 season, represented the third crack at making it a go, so they've been trying to make this happen for a while. And the USFL returned after multiple decades of going dark in 2022. So both these leagues are trying to find their footing again after, you know, going through some trials and tribulations. I've always said that the NFL has been crazy for not utilizing the XFL or USFL as a farm league like they do in the NBA with the G League. I don't understand why it's not been a thing. It's still not a thing, but the XFL and USFL say, hey, you know what? We're not waiting for y'all. We're going to make something happen on our own. I'm just curious what the name would be, like USFXL?
I think you stay with XFL. I think The Rock and Danny Garcia, his ex-wife, also business partner, are doing a phenomenal job with the branding and the business around the XFL. I like this merger, Liv, because if you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. And to Ashley's point, you know, there's a huge challenge and a gap between the NCAA and the NFL. And some people say, well, what do you mean there's a huge gap, right? That's the process. You go to high school, then you go to the, you know, college, you play, and then you, you know, you get a chance at the NFL. Well, think about this. There's only, what, 200-something gentlemen that get drafted every single year, but there's 2,000 guys out there that's more than capable of playing in the NFL if they're developing. So the only opportunities right now is if you go to Canada, but there's stipulations and rules in Canada, how many, you know, foreigners they can have play, et cetera, et cetera. And then if you sign, you can't then go to the NFL if you get the call. So I absolutely love this because there's so many offensive linemen, defensive linemen, cornerbacks that are ready, that can play, but they need a little bit more time. Right. So that's the problem that the NFL is trying to solve. And I do believe, I know this to be true, the NFL is definitely invested in the XFL, USFL succeeding.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's going to bridge the gap. It'll make the jump less significant, like you said. And Ashley nailed it when she said that it's kind of serving as it could serve as like the G League for the NFL, which they should have done a long time ago.
For sure. That's I don't understand why they haven't explored that, but
it's got to make money though. Remember, they were doing like NFL Europe. They had some stuff going on. There's always been some type of league trying to break through. The problem has always been they tried to compete against the NFL.
No, as I'm saying, but I'm saying if you use the XFL as the official farm league of the NFL, that would mean that the NFL's funding and marketing would be behind it in some capacity, even if not full capacity, even 75-50% capacity would completely increase what the XFL is doing. Its awareness across the league, it's awareness across football fans, maybe internationally. Like, it would just completely be a game changer for what they're trying to do. I don't understand why they haven't even explored that yet. But, you know, this could be, you know, a step in the right direction is merging these two leagues first. And then maybe that would make it a little bit more appealing to the NFL later down the road. But we shall see. Listen, speaking of new ventures, you want to golf like Tiger or you want to sing like Justin? Because Tiger Woods and Justin Timberlake are launching a new upscale sports and restaurant called T-Squared Social. The new venture features a bowling alley, 200-inch TV, full swing simulators, 22,000 square feet, entire city block. So if you are a New Yorker, that's an entire city block. The first location actually opens today in New York City.
That ain't no entire block.
22,000 square feet. It's an entire city block.
No, Ashley, this is 20,000 square feet. The building that we're in now, this ain't no block.
Which is a, if you stretched it out the long way, it
would be a block. Like straight.
It'd be a block. Yeah. This is cool. Like, you know, when I was growing up in New York,
Be laughing at me, Liv. I hear you over there.
When I was growing up in New York, we used to have something that I loved so much, and it went out of business. It was called the ESPN Zone. And I remember having my fifth grade field trip there. We saw Beauty and the Beast on Broadway, mm-hmm. and we went to the ESPN Zone, and you can get food, and there were TVs everywhere. It was kind of like a Dave and Buster's, but even cooler. It was ESPN owned it. So they would always have ESPN programming, ESPN games were broadcast there. There was an area where you could play games, and we had a few of those in the city. The one that I went to was in Times Square. It was such a cool spot. Then it ended up, you know, it went out of business, unfortunately, and then there were some other places. The 40-40 Club was a cool place that you can go ahead and watch sports and drink and eat food. That recently shut down as well. Yep. They plan on reopening it in a different location. There were some other smaller places in between that. But New York needs something like this.
Well, Liv, I don't know if you remember. You probably were too young. You grew up in Denver. But in 2006, I was drafted to the Broncos, and I was there to 10, right? 16th Street, they had ESPN Zone.
ESPN Zone.
I used to go there. Did you ever go to the ESPN Zone downtown?
No.
I'm not surprised, Ashley, that you would go see, what did you say, Beauty and the Beast?
I didn't pick it.
Where did you go?
It was Beauty and the Beast. I didn't pick it.
Isn't that so like Ashley Liv, like Beauty and the Beast, and I go to ESPN, right? Like I'm sorry. Right, right.
She just said six times that she didn't get to pick.
It was a fifth grade
what
trip.
Oh my bad.
I barely listen to Ashley when she be talking sometimes.
Likewise. It was my fifth grade field trip, and the girl who was, my Disney Channel OGs would know what this is. Even Stevens, remember with Shia LaBeouf?
Oh, yes, yeah. Of course.
So
I remember
the girl
that show.
Who played his sister, I'm forgetting her name, playing Belle in Beauty and the Beast. That's how like far back this goes. So we saw that on Broadway, and then we went to the ESPN Zone. It was very cool.
It's good.
I remember what I ate.
But that's still,
chicken,
you didn't pick it.
Liv.
Okay, she didn't pick it, Liv, but that's so Ashley, right? So elegant, ladylike, and then all sports, right? So
you know what's crazy? She is very elegant and ladylike, but that can change like you can blink. She can like that. New York comes out and I'm like,
don't worry, I got my sage. I have sage sitting right here in between us, because when it goes there, I start saging her ass,
you know.
No, when she flips, I turn into Michael Thomas and I'm gone.
Listen,
I'm out.
It's actually very true, because when we did my birthday a few years ago in Antigua, mm-hmm. we had like a really like luxurious, really like cute, classy day on the beach. It was so much fun. It was great. It was food. We were on like a private island. It was sick. The Cowboys were playing that night, and I had to watch the game on the Nickelodeon stream because I couldn't get any of the other channels in Antigua.
Imagine your team getting beat and there's slime on the field.
Oh my God. So I'm watching this game. That's the game we got eliminated. We were playing the 49ers. Was it the 49ers or the Rams? I think it was the 49ers.
It was the 49ers.
Yes.
It was the 49ers.
So I'm watching the game. I'm already stressed out because they're losing. And then there's slime and Patrick Starr throwing shade my way. Like,
that's
not going to work. I was like, yo, Patrick, I will mollywop you. Like, stop talking
bad,
to me.
Y'all.
I literally.
And we were in a van that was like,
I was pissed.
On a cobblestone road.
I
there was
pissed.
No Wi-Fi. She's trying to search for a signal.
We
had to stop at an ATM. And so she's like trying to catch a signal from the building. And so it's like, there's like slime, Patrick Starr, Cowboys losing, and like bad connection.
Like
and
every time the Cowboys
so
would do something,
bad.
Patrick was like, I don't think that's what you're supposed to do. Like, yo, Patrick, I will drag you. Stop talking to me, dog. Like, I was fed up.
I took the kids to a taping of that show with Nate Burleson.
Yeah.
And they gave me like the slime hats and stuff. I literally just threw it away. You may have seen him sitting in the studio here, the big green hat that I had right here. Yeah, that was that. I wish
How
I had
did you
I
like
put it.
Did
on.
Did you like it?
It was cool. Nate Burleson, you know, was doing some dope thing. So it was cool to see him working behind the scenes. Hey, let's move on a little bit, guys. Y'all know I love to get messy. Liv, you know I love to get messy. Okay. Keeping up with the Kardashians. Have you guys been keeping up with the Kardashians?
No, no. It's hard to keep up with them. They're doing something new every damn day.
Okay, well, listen, Saint, Kim K and Kanye West's son, I guess he was going to basketball practice. Walking in, they had their security, and, you know, he had a few teammates with him. And then there was paparazzi, and then he flicked them off. Are you not surprised? This is so Kanye. Yeah. I want to show y'all this video. Little Saint getting out of the car, going to basketball practice, wherever he's going, and he flicks off paparazzi. Look at him. Look, she's trying to keep him straight. Yo, I love their kids. I love their personalities, right? Like, look, he's smiling, he's laughing.
Okay, can I just maybe roast you for 1 second? I have met a few people that do the same thing. Why do we say flick off? I thought it was flip.
Oh, really? Is it flip?
Yeah, flip off.
It's not flick off?
Well, flick off means something a little bit different.
What does flick off mean?
It doesn't mean that.
Like, I think flick the bean, and that's flick. Something, that's a whole nother conversation.
That's exactly what I was
flick
thinking.
Flick the bean?
Yes.
Flicking the bean.
What's flicking the bean?
And if you don't, go to Urban Dictionary to find out, because I'm not breaking it down for you, B-Mark.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what I think of.
Flicking
that's
the bean?
Right. So when he,
let me Google flicking the bean. No, Ashley, you know, I'm 39. What are you talking about?
Like, what?
No, it's flip off. I don't know why people say.
I'm like,
yeah.
I can't hear flick and think flicking. Middle finger. I mean, maybe middle finger, but not in the
flicking
air.
The bean.
Go ahead, flick. Go ahead and look up flick the bean. Yeah, and let us know what's up.
Oh, hold on. Let me look at images. Hold on, Mayo.
Pause.
How do you not know
what that means? I'm concerned you don't know what that means.
I'm 39.
That's an old saying.
I just cared about football. That's it.
You don't know what
that means?
That's
a big pause right there. No. When you said flicking off, I was like, hold up.
Yeah.
It
means this. What? Oh, look, she's going to show me. Ashley's wild. Y'all wild. You wilder than me. All right. Well, listen.
The chat is dumbfounded. You don't know what that means.
Yo, there's so much I don't know. Like, I lived in a box. I lived in a box. All I cared about was football, man. That was it. Here we go.
Had to take a little.
No, it was good. I love that. This is paper route. Shout out to the chat. We're booming today. We're jumping. Shout out to SiriusXM, Faction Talk, Channel 103. Shout out to YouTube. Shout out to Liv. Out in Denver. Shout out to Ashley Nicole Moss. No sage today. She didn't have to sage me, but she definitely put me in my place. Keeping up with the Kardashians part 2.
Oh, God.
You know, I like to get messy. Is it OBJ? It took off a year. He was down, out. He was bad. Came back out week 1 crying. Oh, my goodness. I'm back. Week 2 catches a slant. Non-contact. Boom, boom. Ankle. Something happened. Could it be the Kardashian curse? I don't know if y'all seen this. They're reportedly dating.
Curse is real, man.
This is a credible source. They're saying that they're friendly. All right, so before I even get to the football stuff, and I might not even get to the football stuff, do y'all like them as a couple? Do you like them as a couple? Go ahead, Liv.
I mean, I really liked his girl Lolo.
Me too. I love Lauren.
I really love
her. I'm biased. So. I can't even enter this conversation. I'm team Lauren. I think she's a sweet girl.
Yeah, I really like Lolo. But I also don't know what goes on behind closed doors. I don't know why they ended it. Maybe she did. Maybe she felt like she deserved better. Maybe it was the other way around. I'm a big fan of hers. I don't know. I mean, the Kardashian curse is real. I feel like when you get the... Especially with sports, man, we see it all the time with the NBA. So I'm not like pro this relationship. I am pro another relationship that got confirmation this morning about an NFL player.
What happened? Yeah.
Jason Kelce went on radio this morning and said that the Travis Kelce, Taylor Swift rumors are true.
Woo! Travis continue to win. That's my dog. He continue to win. I love this for him.
Yeah, I like that one. I can ship that one. I don't know about Kim K and OBJ.
Really? It's interesting.
I don't care, so I feel like I'm the wrong one.
Wasn't she just rumored with Tom Brady like 2 weeks ago?
Who, Kim K? No, Tom Brady's the supermodel or something.
I thought she was with Bradley Cooper.
Nah. Mm-mm. Y'all got to keep up with the gossip. Y'all don't know the tea.
They were on the beach topless.
How do I know all the tea and y'all don't know the tea? Y'all supposed to know the tea.
Because you're clearly keeping up with the Kardashians a whole lot more than we are, Brandon.
Hey, I'll be honest with you guys. No, I can't be too honest on the TV. That's a tough one, though. Think about it, Keon. Think about it.
You can't Kylie and then not be
what's
honest.
The other one's name? Kendall. You know who I used to love and who I used to admire the most? My favorite Kardashian was Khloe. Damn, Tristan.
Do you not anymore?
I mean, I'm like, that was back when the Kardashians first came out, and I used to watch a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I used to watch the Kardashians a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And Khloe was one. I was like, yo, because she's like the realest to me. You know? So
she is.
You gotta do. Yeah. You know how they had the basketball shirt for Kendall? You gotta do a football version for Kim now. She's like Reggie Bush, Miles Austin.
Reggie, yep.
Miles Austin. You remember Miles Austin? Wow, that's right. Fan, and then it's
Tom Brady.
Ain't no Tom Brady. Stop.
I'm kidding.
Stop.
Leave Brady out of this. No, I'm just kidding.
Yo, you know what? Listen,
at the end
man.
Of the day, I don't care. That's her business. That's her.
Yeah, that's her deal.
That sounds like a new problem.
Listen.
Not a new problem. So.
Listen, Linda. Listen. Y'all got my video. Listen, Linda. Listen, Linda. Y'all got that teed up? Listen, Linda. We got that, Keon? But anyways, the Kardashian curse, y'all say it's real. What they say, like if an athlete dates them, they start going the other way, or anybody dates them, they go the other way? Is that what the mm-hmm. Kardashian curse is?
I don't know. They do. I don't.
They kind of flop.
Let me get the sage.
But you know
there.
What? You know why I don't like, I mean, the Kardashian jokes are funny and all, but I remember they did that to Jessica Simpson with Tony Romo. They're doing it now to Ciara with Russell Wilson. I don't.
No, they not.
Yes, they are. It's all over. I don't believe in blaming women for men's failures. I just don't.
We got a lighter.
Fair.
Like I'm gonna say, just for my brother. My brother worked his butt off. Okay, to get back to this spot. You know, this is some devastating injuries that he sustained. You know, back to back to back. Think about your psyche and your mind. Mm-hmm. Listen, if it's true, you might need to rethink some things. We don't need none of no bad energy in this moment, right? I think the Baltimore Ravens got a chance to be in the Super Bowl. They're not my favorites, but they got a chance. So here we go right here. Let me get that. Boom. This ain't going to work. I don't think this one's dead. So this one's dead. But we're going to sage the environment for OBJ as well, but we can move on.
Let's be for real, okay?
I'm just saying. I went with no bad energy around me right now.
We don't.
But it
will
be tough, though.
It is
that's
a rumor.
Peer pressure.
We don't know if it's true, and even if it is true, I don't care.
All right, here we go. We're going to move on. Listen, this is a wild ref. I don't know if you guys seen this, Liv, but I woke up this morning, and I was looking at the timeline, and I saw this on SportsCenter. This referee was literally in the middle of a game on his phone. I think we didn't see it all. I want to show y'all this video real quick. Yo.
Handling business. Just a man handling some business. You know.
That sounds like my dad would have been screaming at him like that. But you know what? We, in all fairness, playing devil's advocate, it could have been an emergency.
Yo, you got to call timeout. You the ref.
I mean, that's true. But it could have been.
What you mean? Yeah, timeout.
It could have been an emergency, a family situation. It looked like it was an intense conversation. It didn't look like he was just like, you know,
Ashley,
the
he's the ref.
I'm just saying, like, I'm not saying that he was right for taking it there, but it did look like in his facial expressions, like it was a serious. It didn't look like he was just like, hey, bro, what's up? I'm just reffing a game.
Yo,
what about
buddy,
you?
Wow. Buddy, wow. Hey, if y'all saw the end, go on Twitter. You can, you know, on SportsCenter, you'll be able to see it. But in the end, he's still on the phone. He like, ball this way. He's still pointing that way. Like, yo, you got parents saying, I'm going to take a video. I'm sending it in. I'm reporting you. People was pissed. Next time, buddy, you the ref, just call timeout. I know you're going to be questioning. People going to be looking at you like, yo, how you call timeout? I'm the ref, bruh. I got to call my wife. My wife calling me. She need the milk. I got to handle this. Keep
what
a happy
if,
home.
What if he had like an AirPod and his hands were free? Would that have been better?
Yeah, that
would
have been better. That would have been better.
Traveling. Yeah, yeah. What did you say? You need me to get milk from the what? Okay, wait. All right. No. Defense. Nope. Yeah, let me call you back. Like, that would have been funny.
Liv, do you think he'll lose his job? Do you think they'll fire him? because it's viral now.
No, I mean, what is this
job? Like, he's a high school ref.
I mean, aren't the kids like 10?
No, that was high school. That was like high school level. Oh,
sorry. The high schoolers look young nowadays, I guess. I mean, yeah, maybe a little unprofessional. Now that it's viral, they'll probably feel like they have to fire him.
Something. All right, well, Ashley, I'm going to throw the show back to you, and then we're going to say, as I throw it back to you for my dog.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Well, listen, ending out news of the day, we're going to end on a positive note because there are things that are more than football. Listen, they may have been battling on the field, but Dak Prescott and Solomon Thomas are teammates in real life. The Cowboys and Jets player are using their unfortunate shared tragic experiences with the effects of suicide as a way of spreading awareness to help amplify mental health and crisis resources and spread the message that it's okay to not be okay. They are combining their foundations, the Faith Fight Finish Foundation and the defensive line, to go ahead and push these messages out there. And September is Suicide Prevention Month. And as I mentioned, they both have experiences, Dak being vocal about losing his brother, one of his brothers to suicide, and Solomon Thomas lost his sister as well. So this is an absolutely amazing cause. We have the video of the work that they're doing together.
I'm Dak Prescott, quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys and founder of the Faith Fight Finish Foundation.
And I'm Solomon Thomas, defensive tackle for the New York Jets and co-founder of the defensive line.
With September being National Suicide Prevention Month, their foundations are forming a month-long alliance aiming to amplify access to free, around-the-clock mental health and crisis support for individuals in need. Both men lost siblings to suicide.
Therapy is strength. Therapy is regulating your emotions. Therapy is learning how to handle your emotions.
I pledge to give my life to be a mental health advocate.
To make sure people know that it's okay not to be okay. To make sure that we know the help is available.
Take action to mental health is health.us.
Now, obviously, you guys already know how I feel about my QB1. But, you know, outside of the game of football, I'm somebody who is constantly saying that Dak Prescott is just a really good person. He's a really great guy. He's been through a lot, but he is just somebody who just has so much light about him, just does so much good. And we had an opportunity to interview Solomon at Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I was able to meet him for the first time, and he as well. I teased them because they kind of look alike. Yeah. Don't they resemble each other, sort of like cousins?
They do. They
and
do.
They, you know,
big jawbones.
Yeah, they kind of look alike. Glass eaters. So it's you know, I always tease them about that. But, you know, this is an incredible cause, and it's an unfortunate, you know, shared experience that they have. But this is absolutely beautiful, and, you know, there are things more than football.
Right, right. Just like I said earlier when we were talking about Deion Sanders, right? No, excuse me, the XFL and USFL merging together. If you want to go fast, you go alone. If you want to go far, you go together. So I absolutely love this. Listen, suicide is a real thing. And what we believe is that suicide ideation is something that people struggle with their entire life. There are some people that deal with that, but there could be just a moment in your life. And we're talking about, you know, in a split decision, you are in a bad situation. So I want to just highlight that. You know what I mean? That suicide could just be a 15-minute, 20-minute bad moment, and now you have someone that's really struggling. So understand the signs and symptoms. You know, check in on your friends, your family, your loved ones. Also, take care of yourself. You know, there's a huge stigma around us asking for help or saying that something's wrong. Ashley, I you know, meditate and do yoga every day now. 5 days a week. And then I also talk to my therapist once a week, right? Very stressful situation for me, just, you know, being an entrepreneur. So I love this. You know, they're pushing the cause forward, and there's going to be a lot of people that get help because of it. So absolutely love this. I do want to do this before I throw it to Liv and get her response here. Everybody in the chat, I want to start with Christy O. All right, Christy O is an OG, one of the OG paper chasers, been rocking with us for 7 months. We do this on I Am Athlete. Obviously, this is near and dear to our heart, mental health in this conversation. Wellness is extremely important. You know, check in, 1 to 10, starting with Christy O, and then everybody else in the chat can follow. Where are you guys at mentally? 1 to 10. 1 being struggling, you know, we need to reach out and maybe send someone to your house. 10, being you're phenomenal. So where are you guys at 1 to 10?
Where are you at 1 to 10?
Oh, great question.
While the chat starts giving us their answers.
Where am I at 1 to 10? Mm-hmm. I'm hanging on to a 7.
Okay.
Right? Life is extremely difficult for me right now as an entrepreneur, and then also some things personally. But I have the skills and tools now to be able to cope and manage, right? Like I know now, like, all right, how do I get through this? I got to take care of myself. I'm drinking water, right? Like, I'm eating the right things. I'm cutting back on the alcohol. I'm doing yoga. I'm meditating. I'm talking to my therapist. All those things matter. If you ask me that question, let's say 10 years ago, before I went to McLean and went through that outpatient program and didn't have the skills and tools, Ashley, I would probably say 7, but you would be like, yeah, right. He's struggling like a mug, right? Mm-hmm. But I went there and I learned those things, right? So now I'm in a position where I'm able to self-regulate. I'm in a position to be able to take care of myself.
What about you, Liv Bug? Where are you at?
I'm doing good right now. I'm doing good. I'd probably say I'm an 8. I need to be a little better about sleeping. Sleeping is really great for Same. Your mental health. And I also want to, I've seen a lot of people in the chat talking about mental health and how much that conversation means to them. I was hospitalized for suicide my sophomore year of college, actually. So this is a month for me where I do a lot of self-reflection. And, you know, it's interesting because from the outside at the time, you know, I was a TCU showgirl. I had I had all these fun internships lined up. I had a healthy, loving family. I had all these things working in my favor. And, you know, it really is such a prevalent issue that we don't talk about enough because I think we feel shame from having the conversation. But to see people with such a large platform, athletes specifically, make this a priority and mm-hmm. speak on this so openly is massive, because it's a conversation that, again, feels really uncomfortable to have. But I can't tell you how many times I've been open and honest about my journey with mental health and suicide and how many people it helps in that process of just talking about it. Simply just speaking on something that I have gone through helps people immensely. So I would say right now, same as Brandon, I have learned how to deal with it. And now I have helped my sister deal with it, who was also hospitalized recently. And so, you know, mental health stuff runs through our family. And I think it runs through probably most families.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's just a matter of whether you feel like you have a safe space to speak on it or not. And thankfully I have a family that is a very safe space for me, but not everybody has that. So if any of you in the chat need a safe space, I think you've got 3 people right here that would love to be that for you. Because again, just talking about it is really important. So I have a lot of respect for these athletes that are drawing attention to a very important conversation.
Yeah, I mean, I would say I'm at an 8 right now, too. But, you know, one of the things that I do is, you know, I knew, obviously, the story that Liv just shared with everybody. I knew that already.
And I didn't. And thank you, Liv, for sharing that.
Of course.
I think that one of the things also, at least in my friend group, I know that, you know, I have friends who've had babies, and postpartum mm-hmm. is a big thing. And, you know, I've also been open about my struggles with anxiety and depression throughout times of my life. And, you know, our mental health was one of the things Liv and I bonded over. And I remember we were in Jamaica. This is a true story. We were in Jamaica and we were in like a club or a lounge or whatever after dinner. And I think it's also really important to know the signs of people in your life
mm-hmm.
when, mm-hmm. you know, when things are not, you know, when their personality changes, because sometimes signs are there. So we were in this spot and Liv, her mannerisms completely changed. She goes mm-hmm. from like happy and she was enjoying dinner and she was having a fun time and she was talkative, and we're in this spot and she completely just becomes overwhelmed and she leaves. And that's when she told me, you know, her story about, you know, her being hospitalized. But, you know, I noticed the signs right away, and that's when we had our first, you know, very in-depth conversation about right. mental health. And that's how, you know, you learn people. So now when we go out and I see that switch in her, mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, she just needs to kind of reset herself and things
people like
that.
Ashley are a rare breed, because not right. everybody is that patient and not everybody is that aware.
Right.
You know, there was actually There was another person as a part of the trip, and their response to what I had gone through was a little bit more, I don't want to say angry, but you know, there was a very different response. And for right. Ashley to be able to, you know, kind of remove herself from, hey, why aren't you dancing with us? Why aren't you whatever, you know, to like come down to a very human level on a vacation mm-hmm. when we're supposed to be having fun and we're supposed to be doing karaoke at the club, was massive wow. for not only our friendship, but it just shows the type of person that Ashley is. And yeah, it's those moments right there that now to me, Ashley is a safe person. I know that I can be my most vulnerable self with her because of that one moment and that one conversation. And also, alcohol does not help anxiety and depression. I'm just going to throw that out there. So we this were doing a whole lot of drinking, which this I think true. Was probably part of the problem with right. that situation.
I will say this. I always wondered like how you guys clicked up and mm-hmm. became close. Cause you know, and over the last 2 years being around Ashley, you're one of those people like have a tight crew. This is what I know from mm-hmm. being around you, tight crew. And you don't have a lot of people around you like that. Like, I know a couple of your friends, and that's like, these are my friends and my mm-hmm. girls. So, Liv, I always like, how did you guys click up? And it's the reason why I wonder that, because I felt y'all special bond, even how you intro mm-hmm. her earlier. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, oh, one of my all-time besties, right? And so now I get it. Now I understand. And I would say, shit, it almost feels like y'all have this, like, it's like sisters now. When you share your story, and it was the same for me, it's very scary, but what it does, it empowers you and it gives you strength to keep going, because people start saying me too, or thank you, yeah. or that helped me, or, you know, I was going to do this, but because of that, hearing your story now, I'm going to go seek help. So it's a very powerful thing when you actually open up and share your story, because you'll be surprised how many other people are struggling. The problem is, and there might be some people in this chat that don't even know they're suffering, right? Because when we talked about, you know, you guys hit on it a little bit earlier, like, yo, it's a lot of people struggling. 320 million Americans, maybe a few more now. A lot of people having babies in the pandemic. We're all at home. Right? So more babies. So it might be at 325 living, Ashley. But there's over 100 million Americans that's suffering and dealing with something. And it doesn't even have to be a disorder. It doesn't have to be some type of diagnosis. It could just be high level of stress. Just stress. So trust me, it touches us. It touches all of us sometimes, some way, somehow. If it's not you, it's a loved one. So make sure you understand, like Liv and Ashley said, the signs and symptoms, and ask for help. Ask for help.
I'll tell you the story. It's interesting story of how Liv and I met. She, when I was at Sports Illustrated, she was just coming up in, you know, the mm-hmm. sports media game with the volume and things like that. And she came across my timeline a few times, and I was taken by the work she was doing, because she reminded me a lot of myself, in the sense that I obviously didn't do TikTok and things like that, but she was going against the grain of what, you know, other women in sports were doing. And that's kind of what I did, you know, when I got to sport. I didn't dress like normal, you know, sports broadcasters. I didn't, you know, I was doing influencer deals and modeling deals. I wasn't really just putting all my eggs in the sports basket. And she reminded me a lot of myself. And I remember growing up, and I tell this story all the time, growing up in this space for like 5 years now, I never had a female mentor. I never had a woman to sit me down and be like, this is how I did it. This was the game. This is what you should do. So what you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. All of my mentors, all of my opportunities have come from men. I had a very hard time finding a woman to kind of, you know, do that for me. So I saw her, and she was getting a lot of backlash at the time. TikTok was still like a new thing. A lot of brands hadn't like really invested in the direction that was going mm-hmm. until recently. And a lot of people were, you know, bashing her. And I just DM'd her and I said, hey, if you ever need any advice or whatever, like just hit me up like whenever you want. She took me upon that. And that's how our friendship started, really.
We literally met for the first time in person.
In Antigua. I invited her.
Really?
True story. So yes. We were communicating for months, and I was going to Antigua.
That's dope.
With a bunch of my girlfriends.
And scary.
I mean,
she could have, Liv could have been a stalker.
We
she could have been
jumped
a,
her.
She
so could, like,
Liv could have been a serial killer.
If she was going to be crazy, we could have jumped her. She was outnumbered. Right. But like, no, but she, I saw that she was struggling to, you know, to connect, you know, in the space, whatever. So I was like, hey, we're going to Antigua for my birthday. Right. If you don't have time, you know, pull up, you know, whatever. And from there, we just clicked, and it's been ever since.
So question for you guys. Did you guys talk last night about wearing the same color on the show?
We did not.
No.
Okay. This happens a lot, though.
We have done this more than once.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have done this more than once. When we host together, we've shown up and we look very, very similar many, many times. But
it's
weird. Since that first Antigua trip, we've now been to Antigua, Jamaica, and Cabo together.
And yes. No, and you're not a serial killer.
She's not a serial killer.
I am not.
I love
She's
it.
Not. She's not.
No, y'all are dope. Liv, when you blow up, don't forget about us small people.
Oh, please.
Hey, Liv, you text me back now. We Ashley, you know this.
I know.
Like people get big
originally.
But we good.
And I'm also just a really bad texter.
Ashley just want to text me. She don't want to FaceTime me. She don't want to talk. Me and Ashley just text.
Who I'm with, where I'm doing, where I'm at. You can just FaceTime me randomly.
Twin. Who you dating, twin? Because you said something yesterday. You said something yesterday, and I said, and you were like, well, you don't know if I'm with somebody. I was like,
you don't know if I'm with somebody.
Oh, that's news to me. Are you dating?
Back to some football, guys.
I got to go to the bathroom. Hold on.
Moving on.
We are moving. We're going to wait for your bathroom break. Go. Do you want to? Okay, you want me to tee this up? Okay, but you're not going to hear the story.
I'm going to leave the door open.
Oh, my God. Please don't leave the door open. Brandon is going to pee. Wash your hands, Brandon. All right, listen, we're going to get back to some football. But listen, I want to go ahead and send love to everybody in the chat who went ahead and gave us their 1 through 10 scales. If you guys ever need any resources, mental health resources, you know, you're at a loss for having to pull yourself out of, you know, whatever it is that you're feeling, please go ahead and reach out. This, like I said, is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month. When it comes to the mental health game, there is no better person with resources and just anything that you can need to go ahead and figure out what's going on in your mind and your body than Brandon. So do not be afraid to DM I Am Athlete, Paper Route, add us on Twitter, whatever the case may be. However we can go ahead and help, we are here to help. You don't got to go through this alone, and it's okay to not be okay. We're going to move on to another injury or lack thereof. Steelers Nation, you guys can take a deep breath. After Monday night's battle, rather, against the Cleveland Browns, Steelers head coach Mike Tomlin told reporters that DB Minka Fitzpatrick was being evaluated at a local hospital for a chest injury. Now, good news for the black and yellow, because Fitzpatrick was released from the hospital Monday night after undergoing precautionary scans for what is believed to be a chest contusion. Now, the scans were negative, so there is optimism that Fitzpatrick will be fine moving forward. Now, this is also in the news because, if you remember, the Fitzpatrick hit on Nick Chubb, which ultimately ended his season, has been debated back and forth all over NFL Twitter on whether it was clean or dirty. We'll dive into that in a second, but first I want to go ahead and share this news. The Browns, as expected, have officially placed Nick Chubb on IR, and he is ruled out for the rest of the season. And with that, they announced that they have officially re-signed running back Kareem Hunt on a 1-year deal. So he is now running back number one for the Cleveland Browns. But I mean, the Fitzpatrick news, good if you're a Steelers fan. The Kareem Hunt news, good if you're a Browns fan. Some movement there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, listen, the NFL is a war around attrition, right? Attrition, you got to stay healthy. And, you know, once you strap it up, you know, probably 80, 90% of your guys are dealing with something. And so, you know, you need to be able to be a good team, put together a roster. You need to have the ball bounce your way here and there. But the biggest thing is injury, right? Like, it's inevitable for guys to go down. And this, you know, the guys that you mentioned, Ashley, these are guys that are like staples on their team, on their defense, on their offense. They're needed. So,
Ford will be running back number one. Kareem Hunt would be running back number two in this situation.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm glad. And again, sorry, Coach Tomlin, Liv, I said that this was going to be the game that, you know, the Steelers go the wrong way and the Cleveland Browns ascend to contenders, and it didn't happen.
Well,
let the Steelers, Brandon. You tell me.
Oh, see it again. You taught me. What'd you say? Tell you?
You should have tailed me. I bet the Steelers to cover and to win outright.
Liv, I just didn't believe like that.
Mike Tomlin was not going to get caught with his pants down 2 weeks in a row in a divisional game at
home. This is true.
What? See, this is why I went as hard on, what was it, last Thursday, whenever we talked about this, or Monday morning. It's like, look at your energy around Coach Tomlin. Your energy around, like, but think about it. He's been average the last, what, 7-8 years.
He's had winning seasons with like below average rosters. How can you call that average? He has done a lot with very little.
That's the point.
Can you agree with that?
That's the point. Like him, the general manager, they're all involved in building out this roster. It all flows to them. Think about it. Like I don't know if I agree with that.
Well, let's see if you guys can agree with this. So we're going to go back to the Fitzpatrick news. You know, like I said, NFL Twitter has been debating on whether or not Fitzpatrick's hit on Nick Chubb, like I said, which ultimately ended his season, was clean or dirty. And yesterday, Nate Burleson and Ryan Clark went back and forth on Twitter about this very thing. So this was Ryan Clark's first tweet. He said, if a defender goes high and a player gets concussed, he's dirty. If a defender goes low and a player gets a lower extremity injury, he's dirty. Where can he hit a runner then, y'all? I mean, sheesh, the growing softness of this game and the sensitivity of those who watch it saddens me. Before I move on to Nate Burleson's response, Brandon, any response to that?
Actually, you know, I don't really want to vibe with Ryan Clark right now, but look, he right. And you know, that pains me to say that Ryan Clark is right, but he's right.
All right, well, this was Nate Burleson's response. I'll go ahead and read that. He said, RC, Ryan Clark, you know I love you like a brother, so I mean this with all due respect. You are wrong on this one, fam. The reason there is outrage about that hit on Chubb isn't about the game or its fans getting soft. The problem is Minka, who is a veteran DB, torpedoed at Chubb's leg while he was already being taken down by a defender. If your response is he didn't know Chubb was already being tackled, well, pick your head up. If he didn't want to go high, well, aim from multiple areas above the knee and below the head, like hip, ribs, or shoulder. Brandon, your response to that?
Yeah, I love Nate B, and I'm always riding with my dog, and he's right. Ashley, I'll be honest with you. I did not watch the video, right? So I'm on YouTube right now. I know. That's why I didn't want to do it. And I'm not one of those guys that cringe.
Like as I'm sitting here and we're talking about it, I can like feel a discomfort in my leg. It was very, right. I mean, you know how these networks are. They replay every injury known to man. So the fact that they didn't is all you need
to know.
And
I can't really find.
It was pretty gruesome.
Right. Let me see. I want to see it. They're not even showing it. Like I'm on. He's definitely in pain. With Nate Burleson described, Ashley, absolutely right to me. That like, it's not a illegal play, mm-hmm. but it's borderline dirty to me, right? And here's why. Like if the guy already has one or two guys on him and he's clearly not going anywhere, then you just come hit his knee. I'm just going to say it is dirty. And it's dirty because there's a fraternity, right? And look, at the end of the day, we're competing, but don't take food off of each other's table, right? I just don't subscribe to that. Mm-hmm. You didn't have to do that, right? Because now, look, now your brother can't play for the rest of the year, and now he's probably going to miss out on maybe another $10 million potentially, right? Because he ain't going to get another big contract. You already see how they're doing a running back. So what Nate Burleson described, mm-hmm. I said borderline dirty. It's dirty.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and read the remaining.
And that's not Fitzpatrick. Sorry, because I want to be clear. He's an amazing dude. He's not a dirty player. So I don't know what was going on there, but I don't want to see this.
I'm
going
to read the remaining two tweets. It's on Twitter if you want to go look at the injury in real.
What did I type in? You know, I don't know
just
nothing.
Just write Nick Chubb.
No, it means social media.
Or Minka Fitzpatrick, either or. Can we throw up Ryan Clark's third tweet here in response to Nate Burleson? He said, respect, brother, I disagree. And being in that position as a defender is something people who haven't who haven't can't fully understand. It is not Minka's job to protect other players. It is his job to get them on the ground and defend every blade of grass. I'm extremely sad that such a good human and amazing player was severely injured. And then to end things off, Nate Burleson had this to say. He said, quote, "Nah, nah, nah. We all play to defend each blade of grass, fight for every yard, and leave it all on the line for your team. But nothing comes before the health of your fellow brother, whether he's on the same squad as you or not. As a rookie, I was taught to cut cornerbacks on a run play, approach as if I'm going to block, and then launch myself at the legs of the defender guarding me, which will almost guarantee he goes down. RC, as a young player, I didn't know any better, so I did. But as I got older, I realized I could easily blow out a guy's knee, so I stopped. I'd rather risk getting manhandled by a bigger, stronger corner than throwing my body at him unsuspectedly."
Ashley, I need a cuss word that I can use that won't offend too many people.
Bull junk?
I can't say bull junk. I want to use, I was going to, B-I-T-C-H. P, the P word. Like, I need, just help me out here. Because this is what I would say. The beginning of my career, I was vicious. Like, I would cut, like, you know, the crackback blocks, taking dudes' helmets off, decleating dudes, all of that. And I was playing in Buffalo, and the tight end, forget his name, but he was at the University of Miami, but he was on the Buffalo side. On the punt return, Dominique Hickson came down, hit him. They collided, and now he was paralyzed. So this is like year three for me, year two, year three. In that moment, I said, yo, this don't make any sense, right? Like, I just need to do my job. So what did that look like after that? Playing in Indy, you know, you have their middle linebacker coming to hit my running back. I had a kill shot on him, and all I did, I said, yeah, 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 yeah. He looked at me. I looked at him. We thud it up. Thud means just like, let's make it look good, right? This is some of the language we use. So I was like, boom, we hit. He's like, thank you. I got my job done. I didn't hurt him. I ain't deplete him. I ain't concuss him. Mm-hmm. My running back went right off my butt and kept going for 20 more yards. So I changed it, the way I played there, because I wanted to protect myself and also my brother, okay? And so this hit right here, like Minka Fitzpatrick, he plays the game intense. He plays it hard, but he's always played it clean. But what Ryan is saying, man, and it's like, and that's, you have the word for me, the curse word I can use? Did you even think about it for me?
I can't, I mean.
Because I really want to, like.
You could call him a sissy.
A cupcake? That's Kitty's favorite thing.
And this is why, like, I mean, see, remember I said, the Ryan Clark, the first tweet, there's real beef. So the first tweet, like, I had to agree with the guy because it was right. But then the second tweet reminded me why I don't like the guy. You're a fuckboy. I'm sorry. You didn't give me the word.
He said, screw
it. You didn't give me the word, Ashley. I'm trying to, but no, that's seriously. And then people look at me and look how intense I am. Oh, Brandon's the problem. No, man, you a fuckboy that say go out there and you want to hurt somebody. Come on, man. Come on. You serious? You seeing these dudes at 55, 60, 70 years old walking around, can't even talk. Look at I don't rock with Brett Favre. Look at his last interview. Look how this man talking. And you sitting around looking like a clown. You thinking football is all this and that. Man, yeah, it was a good game. Oh, I got some highlights, big hits, all of that. Bro, you got people dying, bro. You got dudes really struggling cognitively, mentally, physically. Sitting here about a game. You institutionalized. You're lost. You're lost, bro. You're lost. You don't do that to your brother, dog. This is a game. We have fun. It changed a lot of our lives. But we don't go out there try to do damage to each other. If it happens, it happens. But that play right there, that was a nasty play. It wasn't a dirty play. But I just didn't like that response. Sorry, Ashley. I asked for a word.
They said Broncos B. Marsh just came back.
Bad B. Marsh don't go no. Like, I'm YouTube. Thank God for YouTube. Right? What Diddy was just on the Breakfast Club. Diddy was like, yeah, you go to CNN, ESPN, you say the wrong thing, you get banned. Well, we own our own IP over here. We might not be able to monetize that clip, right? Because I said,
but we can bleep it. This is a serious question for me because I have never played football, so I would not know what it's like. There's a layer of, like, obviously, like with targeting calls, I think there's a layer of targeting calls that are like, some are momentum based, and then there's some that like look very malicious and look personal. And like, how do you, okay, had Nick Chubb not gotten a knee injury, would we be talking about the tackle?
Yeah, because you don't do that. Think about it.
How many times do people get do people tackle and it's dirty, and we don't talk about it because there wasn't an injury in like as a result of the play? You know what I mean?
Right, but it's clear. Hold on, think about it. You're right. I and this is why I agree with what he said initially. The defenders are in a tough spot. Right. I can't go high because it's targeting and get a hit. You know, I can hit their head, helmet to helmet. Now I'm fine, 45, 50,000. Tough right. spot. But also, we know what? Lower extremity injuries put our guys out for the year, maybe in careers, and now our guys can't go and put food on the table. And so we right. see guys struggling. So if on the other side, if I'm a wide receiver, Ryan Clark's coming down. And I go to crack him, and I go low. They get mad. Why? Because like, dope, bro. Like, why are you going after my knee? Like, this is my money makers. Why are you doing that? So right. there's an unwritten rule in football. It's like, yo, like going low can almost come off as a dirty play, right? Right?
No,
and the reason why this is a situation, and go back to what Nate Burleson said. The reason why this is one of those ones is because there was already somebody on top of him.
Mm. Right. No, totally. And this is, again, like I'm more asking from the perspective of, because I do think that the more that we, because I think that like in the world of football, calling a play a dirty play is like a big, it's a big statement, right? Because
right.
now you might be associated with playing a dirty game, and that maybe wasn't your intention, but that's how it was perceived to the public. And so I just worry that the defenses are going to be defenders are going to become scared to play the game because they don't want to be viewed as a dirty player. They don't want to have a, because sometimes, again, like how much of those tackles are momentum based? I'm genuinely asking because I've never been in that position. Now with the Nick Chubb one specifically, you nailed it, that there was somebody already taking him down. He hit right. below the knee. You know, there's all those things, but I do think that I have seen defenders get either a targeting call or have what looks like a dirty play, but it really was a momentum. Couldn't think about all these things in that moment and just kind of a unfortunate yeah. thing. So again, I think that's where it's tough, and I don't want defenders to become scared to play.
Hey, listen, what's in the heart comes out, right? And that's why totally. I use the word and sorry, you know, I'm blaming y'all. You know, but I'm like, I needed a word. I needed a word. That's the best I could do. But that's why I feel the way I feel and why I responded to his Ryan Clark's second tweet that way, because, nah, bro, I just don't subscribe to that. Like, I played the game the same way Ryan Clark played the game, right? But then there was something in me seeing my brother laying on the ground, paralyzed. And I said, I can still get my job done and not do that. And then there's moments if they're looking, it's mano y mano. But if they're not looking, I ain't doing that crack back stuff. It's best for me, too. I'm concussed. My shoulder's all messed up. Well, who am I going to be to Z, Ziggy, and Zoe when I'm 50, 55? So that's why I'm just subscribe to that. But, Liv, you are absolutely right. And it's a tough position to be in as a defender. Right. And that's why I agree with his first tweet. It's because you're right. If you can't go high, you can't go low. Now you have them playing timid, and now they're in position to receive more injuries or more right. damage, right? So it's something that we definitely need to correct. But in this moment, in this case, on this play, he had a defender on him, and going low is borderline, right?
I'm not calling him a dirty player because
this is a awesome guy. He's an awesome yeah. gentleman, a fierce competitor, and he plays the game the right way.
Listen, we're not.
I think he should have stopped after the first tweet, and then yeah. it would have been a.
Did I go too far?
By him.
No, you're fine. No. Listen, we're not going to end the show just yet, but we are going to end the audio portion of the show because we do have two more topics that we want to hit. So if you are listening on SiriusXM, Facts
I gotta
Talk,
do yoga.
Yoga's going to have to wait.
Okay.
Dang. If you are listening on SiriusXM Faction Talk 103, thank you so much for joining us on this hump day edition of Paper Route. Brandon's gonna sage himself, get him back to center. Right. Again, thank you guys so much for listening. We will be back on Thursday. And if you have some time, check us out on YouTube, the I Am Athlete page, if you want to see all the shenanigans that actually happen to what you are listening to. But we will see you tomorrow. Bye. All right, guys. So back to the visual Clark. Portion. You good? You need a second to kinda...
I need it. I need to go to yoga. You talking about we got two more topics.
We got two more topics, Brandon. I actually think Brandon could really use some namaste right now. Look,
I'm doing it.
I think we should get him out of here and get him to
You're
going to
have to namaste. You're going to have to wait for your namaste, okay?
Liv, you see why I do yoga every day and meditate? You see that? What they said? The Denver B. Marsh came out.
Denver B. Marsh.
It's always there.
Someone called you. Somebody called you MWA, Marshall with Attitude.
Yo, it's just like my agent used to tell me, it's like, yo, you just need to learn how to be diplomatic, and I just can't. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how I really feel, bro. Like, think about that. That's my heart. My heart, like, seeing, you know, a dude hurting, right? In that way, I don't care about no ankle. I don't care about certain things. But then there's certain injuries, too, where it's like, yo, this dude may not be able to take care of his family. Like, he going to have to go to Wall Street or some shit, right? And that's devastating, especially when there's things that we can control. So, all right, I'm going to namaste. I'm going to let it go.
Listen, 173, that's the number.
What is that?
173, because the Modern Era Hall of Fame nominees are here. Nine players in their first year of eligibility are among the list of 173 Modern Era nominees for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2024. Now, the roster of nominees consists of 94 offensive players, 62 defensive players, and 17 special teams players. Now, the list of Modern Era nominees will be reduced down to 25 semifinalists in November. Now, the rules are players must have last played at least five full seasons ago to be eligible for a nomination. Therefore, any individual who last played in 2018 is eligible for the first time in 2024. So we have wide receiver Jordy Nelson, we have tight end Antonio Gates, running back Jamal Charles, offensive line TJ Yang, offensive line Josh Sitton, offensive line Max Unger, edge Julius Peppers is also on this list. But somebody else is on this list, and that is wide receiver Brandon Marshall, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go. We have Chicago Brandon Marshall. We have Jets Brandon Marshall. Do we have Denver? We got Seattle Brandon Marshall.
A little cup of tea there.
We got Denver Brandon Marshall.
That's that one. Don't let him out. Don't let him out. Look at the muscles popping.
We got Dolphins Brandon Marshall.
That was the Zen B. Marsh right there.
We got Giants Brandon Marshall.
Wash B. Marsh.
We got Chicago Brandon Marshall.
Went from beast to monster. That's beautiful.
Listen, I mean, Brandon, what does this feel like? Listen, 173 Modern Era Hall of Fame nominees. There's a lot of incredible names in there. I mean, Jordy Nelson, Antonio Gates, Julius Peppers, who I'm a huge fan of. I mean, this is huge. This is a big deal.
I'll be honest with you. You know, it's something about, like, your peers showing love, right? So this isn't that, but, like, it feels good for you to highlight it, and you guys put this in a running show. So, like, that's what's making me smile. You know, I love that. You know what I'm saying? 13 years in the NFL. I gave it my all. You know, it definitely was a goal for me. You know, I think I left a little bit of meat on the bone there. But I'm not one of those guys that's going to – I'm not one of those guys that, like, think about this or even want it. Like, because the reality for me, it's going to probably take 15, 20 years for me to actually, you know, get inducted. That's what I believe. Do I think my numbers are up there and it could happen now? It could happen in a couple years? Absolutely. But when you just look at the system, right, it's going to take some time. Like, if you go to the other graphic, look at the wide receiver list, you got some monsters on that list. So if we can go to the other graphic, you got Andre Johnson, you got Reggie Wayne, you got my mentor from Denver, Rod Smith. There's some real guys out there.
Oh, we're talking about the four, the light blue with all the names on the other graphic. That's the graphic he's referring to.
Yep. So there you go. And I can't read it there, but look at the other receivers before me. There we go, right there, right? Anquan Bolden, Jimmy Smith, Steve Smith, Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne. So, you know, they make wide receivers wait. It's backed up there. And so it's an honor, it's a privilege to be just in this conversation. I mean, we'll see what happens.
You're one of one.
I appreciate that.
The chat is congratulating you, saying first ballot. They don't care what anyone says. They say Jay Cutler was your best quarterback.
Had 17 of them. No, this is beautiful, you know, but let's make sure Andre Johnson deserves to get in ASAP. Devin Hester should have been first ballot. I believe Asante Samuels, when you look at his numbers and how many times he turned the ball over, he should be in there. So the system is where a lot of guys push back and don't really understand it. I think it's time for us to have that conversation of what do we need to do to change this up? And then you have people on the other end of the spectrum like Deion Sanders saying, like, we need another layer in the hall. Maybe that's it. But, you know, we definitely need some changes there.
Really good question quickly from DJ Train Walker, who says, hearing this basically, five full seasons removed from the game, how does that feel and how do you find the love of day-to-day?
So, like, if you guys are following me, I wasn't on Instagram for a while. I just got back on after a couple of months. And so now, like, I'll be posting stuff. But, you know, what I'm posting a lot of outside of yesterday is a lot of, like, my, you know, like, my yoga, my wellness journey, my healing journey. I'm rewiring my brain, right? Like, my entire life, I just been Brandon Marshall, the football player. And I've always was surrounded by guys in the locker room. And then, you know, in 2014, I spent my entire offseason at Harvard building out my case study on transition. And what came out of that was content and commerce. So everything that I'm doing now is what came out of all the work we did in that offseason. So shout out to Professor Anita El Berce and everybody in the class that worked on that, those cases. So once I retired or got kicked out of league, not kicked out of league, but I got cut, right? Some people retire, some people get cut, some people, you know, move on due to injury. For me, I wanted to play another year or two. That's why I said there was more meat on the bone, because, like, I wanted to retire with 100 touchdowns. I wanted to retire with 1,000 catches. I got, like, I'm 30 catches away. So I was just, like, literally a half a season away from, you know, hitting all my individual goals. But I had my plan in place already. You know, so I moved in and morphed into Brandon Marshall, the business guy. And so now, you know, that's a good question. You know, it's like, who am I? Take away football, take away, you know, business. And so, like, I'm really on this interesting journey right now, and I'm doing a lot of work. And hopefully we don't tame too much of the beast.
Well, to celebrate,
I don't want to be like just like a little lamb.
To celebrate this news, Pamela sent a $50 super chat.
Oh, wow.
To the channel to celebrate your Hall of Fame Modern Era nominee. Isn't that sweet?
Pamela, I love you and I'm grateful for you. That's another thing we're working on. Great gratitude.
Gratitude.
So I'm thankful for you. That $50 is going to go a long way. You know, we'll take it and, you know, we'll take care of the team. You know, maybe get some coffee, like coffee. Ashley like to say.
Matcha.
That's what we're going to do. You know, BC and Wu, I don't know. I can say this. They talked about this. They might want to get a little smoky smoke with the $50.
All right, listen.
A little 50 pack.
That went from sweet to sour real quick.
I'm just saying, what did the team want? Like, it's going to $50. You could get a little smoky smoke. You get a little coffee.
Well, listen, before we close out the show for today, we're going to take a look at Pepsi Zero Sugar NFL Rookie of the Week nominees for week 2. And we want to remind you to go ahead and place your vote at NFL.com/voting/rookies. Now, here are the nominees.
Whoop, whoop.
Yo, rookie. We had, let's go ahead and play that graphic to let that simmer in for a second. So here are the week 2 nominees. We had Houston quarterback C.J. Stroud. Sorry, I always say Strode. Stroud.
I had him on the Panthers last.
You did. Yeah,
2 days ago.
We also have Atlanta running back Bijan Robinson. Los Angeles Rams wide receiver Puka Nacua.
Love him.
We have Tampa Bay safety Christian Eysine. We have Cincinnati wide receiver Charlie Jones, Denver wide receiver Marvin Mims Jr. Now, yesterday we had the pleasure of speaking to their your nominees right there. So we have, like I said, CJ Stroud.
Stroud.
I keep saying Stroud. CJ Stroud, Bijan Robinson, Puka Nacua, Christian Eizine, Charlie Jones, and Marvin Mims Jr.
I don't know. Now, who do they haven't announced the winner yet. It's this.
They have not. You have to go ahead, like I said, and place your vote at NFL.com/voting/rookies. But yesterday, we had the privilege of speaking to one of the Week 2 nominees, and that was Puka Nacua, about being nominated in Week 2. This is what he said. From the Los Angeles Rams wide receiver, Puka Nacua. Hello, Puka. Thank you so much for joining us.
What's up? What's up? Good morning.
Good morning.
Bro. First off, congratulations. And I got to be honest, I'm always real. Bro, I had no clue who you were until week one. I didn't hear your name in the draft because when that fifth round came around, Ashley, I was not watching, okay? Oh, my dog went fifth round. Hey, I'm fourth rounder, so we're in the same boat, bro. Okay, no disrespect. I was fourth round. Ain't too many people sitting around watching the draft that long, okay? And you have 15 catches in week two. What the heck is going on, bro? How do you feel? And tell us, are you surprised? Because the world is surprised, but are you surprised?
I wouldn't use the word surprise. Prepared for the moment, I would say, but it's definitely been a sweet one. It's been super cool and a blessing to be a part of it. I think that the man up above for watching over me, allowing me to be in this opportunity, but then that the guy number nine in the backfield, that everybody here in the Ram organization has helped make this process and this journey started off so far really well.
Just walk us through being primed for the moment and how Matthew Stafford, how Coach McVay, how everybody within the Rams organization has helped you become prepared for these moments.
Yeah, just like you said, being able to be there alongside Cooper Kupp and to be there with Matthew Stafford, the communication those two guys have between each other is unreal. It's top. It's professional. It's the best in the world because you've seen what they do together. And then just to kind of be there a part of it and try to get the little nuances and the cues that they're communicating just in the game of football. But then to be able to get it when Matthew's talking specifically to Coop about this route on we're breaking out against this leverage or we're seeing this type of coverage. This is what I'm thinking. So to be on the same page, it makes it super easy because number nine.
Listen, just wanted to go ahead. Love Puka. He was a great time.
Spirit amazing.
Yeah, I mean, this
he would have never. No, go.
This was his second time being nominated for Rookie of the Week. But listen, if you want to vote for Puka or any of the other Week 2 nominees, voting closes Thursday at 11 a.m. The NFL will announce the winner noon on Thursday. So don't forget to go and vote. Again, the website is NFL.com/voting/rookies. Brandon, any final thoughts before we close out the show today?
Yeah, what I would say is I want to see more offensive linemen, more defensive linemen getting love. And I know it's extremely tough. A lot of people don't know how to assess it or evaluate it. But we got to have them in a conversation because they're the ones that hold everything together. And then I would say this too, like Stroud had a phenomenal game.
Stroud, not Strode.
Stroud had a phenomenal game, 300 and what yards? How many yards did he have, Ashley? And then you had Bijan, all-purpose yards, 170-something yards. What I would say to
Marvin
this is
Mims.
That
Marvin
this is great. Mims. No. Stop. No Denver. Marvin y'all got to get a win. Get a win.
Whoa, crazy.
Well, they would have won if they got Marvin the ball more in the second half.
Ooh, okay. I'm with you when you're right. But we've seen that before, and it's big because they're rookies doing this, but we've seen that before. We've also seen receivers have 15 catches. But what he did, Puka, to me, he should be – I'm voting for Puka because 15 catches, you don't see that often. I see what they did, Bijan and Stroud. I've seen that more than a rookie wide receiver have 15 catches and through two games, 25 catches, which is a record. This is the hottest start from any wide receiver that our league has ever seen. So I'm leaning towards Puka, but I can understand if people go with the quarterback Stroud or if they go with the running back in Bijan.
All right. Well, we shall see who is your rookie of the week tomorrow? But that does it for this edition of Paper Out. Brandon, you want to take us out? Namaste us out? The
way? Yes, yes. No more cursing on the show. No more all of that. We're going to go do yoga, meditation. Ashley's going to do Pilates. Liv is going to walk the Rocky Mountains, the foothills of the Rocky Mountains.
I'm lifting with my trainer in an hour.
Okay. I see them guns too. Let me see. Woo! Ashley, put them up. Ashley got some guns too. Ashley, put them up. Yes, you do. Put them up. Ashley, go. Ooh! Yes. Hey, we'll see y'all tomorrow. Oh my God.